Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right. Well, apparently, y'all, that means you, Americans, us, are not really confident in the direction the economy is going right now. Seems to be a trend, though, over the last several months and I guess even years, to discuss with us some new polling. CNN economics reporter Elizabeth Buchwald is with us on 104.1 FM KMOX. Elizabeth, appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's hot out there.
Oh, man, you have no idea. Actually, you probably do.
Really hot. Well, the East Coast. I don't know if you're in the East Coast.
They've got a thing going on,
it's
too.
It's like 100 degrees in Boston today.
Yeah, we are. We're giving you some competition.
So do you have an air conditioner?
I do. Don't ask me what my electric bill is. I'm not looking at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, some of the recent polling, and I guess this isn't unusual because, you know, going back to last year during the previous administration, people had low confidence in the economy, that it was not doing very well. You haven't heard a lot about the economy lately. People don't talk about it the way they did 6 or 7 months ago, but apparently they don't really feel good about where it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that's kind of a reaction. It's like almost like the stock market. It goes up and down and fluctuates a lot as news comes in and out. And so we saw that from the prior month, from May, people's feelings about the economy took a dive across the board. And what happened in May was we had a deal announced with China that lowered tariffs there and kind of that ongoing pause. But as those feelings faded and uncertainty continued about the path forward with tariffs and the tensions across the Middle East rose, we saw Americans feeling worse about the economy.
When we look at how Americans act when they don't have a lot of confidence in the economy, where do we see those trends the most?
It's a lot of big ticket purchases. So if you're not sure of what your finances are going to be, you're going to be more hesitant to make a purchase like an appliance or a home. And a lot of consumers in the survey did say that they have a lot of uncertainty about where their income is going to be, about job security. So those are the types of things you would expect to see a pullback there in spending.
So is it really all that much different? And because to me, as I said a moment ago, the narrative or at least the discussion about the economy and, you know, how high prices are and nothing's good right now, that was pretty prominent in the summer of last year. But it doesn't seem to be the conversation now. So is there a dissonance here, or is this, you know, just about narrative?
I think it depends what circle you're in. We are seeing, so the headline inflation numbers have been pretty stable, much to a lot of economists' surprise. They've kind of been saying it's only a matter of time. It could be this summer that we actually start to see tariff-induced price increases, and plenty of companies, including Walmart and others. I've gotten emails from various companies as well saying, you know, we're going to be raising our prices. Come buy our stuff now. Part of me wonders if that's a marketing tactic or not. But nevertheless, they're saying that we are going to have higher prices. So people are talking about that, I would say. But on a large scale, we're not seeing those price increases show up. And I think that's part of the reason why we might not be hearing people talk about this as much.
I hope I can ask this question in a way that makes sense. But as you noted, people are putting off some big purchases like electronics and homes, but other big ticket items like cars or appliances are still strong. When you are looking at the numbers, at economics, at consumer confidence, have we noticed that the trends of how Americans act change enough that maybe old indicators aren't the same indicators as they are, you know, as they are today?
No, that's a very fair question. I think, well, one of the things, surveys, including the government, they've had trouble getting people to actually respond to them, and that creates some issues. But I think the greater issue at hand for economists and anyone else to make sense of these surveys is, do they actually add up with people's actions? So people were predicting 2 years ago, even last year too, recession, recession. They weren't acting like it. They were still spending on Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Not exactly how you would expect people to act. So that's why I always say to take surveys like this with a grain of salt. But that's not to say they don't mean anything, because we have seen in past recessions that, yeah, consumer sentiment will go down a lot.
And I'll throw this in there as well. Like, obviously, we talk a lot about the price of eggs, and then we talk about the economy and consumer confidence. But then, like you said, people are still going to Taylor Swift concerts, and I don't know how families afford Disney World, but people are still going to Disney World, and that is so expensive. So is it just that people are shifting how they're spending their money?
I think that's part of it. Yeah. I mean, we are seeing, and CEOs, I forget which airline, but I think actually all of them have been warning in a sense that travel is slumping a little bit. So discretionary spending, the things that you don't need in your immediate future, I think you would expect to see some of that decline, but it's not falling off a cliff by any means at this point right now. And, you know, that's a good thing for the economy.
So when there is a conflict like is going on across the world right now, and it could affect prices here eventually, whether it's in shipping or oil or whatever it is, generally speaking, when something like this is happening, how do Americans end up adjusting or reacting to that?
Assuming that it actually does hit, like, the oil, or the, we don't buy oil, we buy gasoline most. I don't know about you, but I guess speaking for myself.
I've got a little refinery in my backyard.
Very nice.
I have a buried.
But until it hits what you're paying in your bills, most people aren't going to have much of a reaction. And we saw, you know, the stock market wasn't completely cratering, even though this was a conflict that had, and it still does have, huge financial ramifications. So it's basically until you start to see it hit your wallet that people have reactions. And, you know, we saw during the Russia-Ukraine conflict, when gas prices did indeed go up, that consumers were adjusting their activities. They weren't eating out as much to save on gas to get places, and looking towards more public transportation, things like that.
Elizabeth, I don't know if this is in your purview, obviously focusing here on the United States or North America, but do we know anything about consumer confidence in Europe right now, and how that might correlate or not with what we are experiencing here?
Yeah, I can't speak to Europe as much. What I will say that's been kind of interesting there is we've seen more of a flight to their stock market. So American investors pouring money in there. And that in some ways is a gauge of confidence in their economy. So I think there's something to be said for that, but I can't speak to consumer confidence gauges there. I don't cover that as much, but yeah. I think it is interesting to follow money from the U.S. flowing into the European stock market when it used to be more of the other way around.
And just as a point here that you noted in your story for CNN, this poll that we're talking about now about consumer confidence, this was just days before the U.S. bombed the nuclear sites in Iran. So I guess the next time we look at consumer confidence, it could be revealing as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I think it would be interesting to see. But now, of course, there's been a ceasefire, which who knows if that will continue to last. But if that does, perhaps consumer confidence would go up a little bit more from this period. But it's far too early to say.
I don't know how much they break down consumer confidence by demographics or age groups. But do we have any numbers on that? Like, well, boomers are feeling okay, but millennials don't have as much confidence. Do they break it down that way?
Yeah, they do. I, for the sake of my story, was most interested in the political demographic reactions. And what I found to be most interesting was that the confidence readings fell month to month the most among Republicans, which is kind of interesting there. But still, they have more confidence in the economy than Democrats, independents, and people who did not identify. They don't give a reason why in the survey. I tried asking a little bit more, and it's hard to say, but I think they just give things on a broad measure of why Americans are feeling the way they do. But it is always interesting to follow the trends on how they differ between age groups and income levels. I know it was falling across the board for all groups. So.
Sort of touched on this already a little bit, but is it more challenging to conduct surveys, polls like this now than it was maybe 5, 10 years ago?
Oh, for sure. I mean, people are getting inundated with first so much junk texts and emails and phone calls. So people are more hesitant to respond to things. And just to conduct any kind of survey, you want to have a larger, more diverse sample size. So reaching more people is more helpful to get a useful result in the end. And, you know, the group that puts this out, they do a great job, the government as well, at still getting a really good survey out there that is statistically significant. And I think any statistician would sign off on and say, yep, this is a good read. But there's kind of fears that as we go on, and especially on the government side with potential funding cuts on some surveys, that the quality could get worse over time.
Okay, this is my nickname, apropos of nothing. This happens all the time. But I was looking at one of your previous stories about federal holidays and how the president is saying that we have too many federal holidays and they're hurting the economy. You wrote a piece on this. What did you find out about federal holidays? I love federal holidays.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? I'm just kidding. There are a lot of people clearly that don't. I think so. There's a mixed board in the short term that you could see people taking off. I don't know if this is the case at your workplace, but I've seen it very much at mine, that when there's a federal holiday, people schedule vacations around it. So before July 4th, someone's taken off for a week, the other person has to pick up the slack and their productivity levels go down. So GDP, gross domestic product, there's studies that measure that there's a decline in the short run. But over the long term, having time off, like federal holidays, has been shown to have benefits for mental health and productivity, people avoiding burnout, and then also spending. People go out and spend on federal holidays, assuming stores aren't closed, but even online as well. And small businesses have benefited from it. So it's a mixed bag.
When you say short term versus long term, are you talking like short term over a 48-hour period and then long term over weeks and months? Or what exactly do you mean?
Short term, it would mean a couple months to a year max. Longer term would be, I would say, anything above a year.
Okay. So ultimately, it's better to have more days off? Because I mean, mental health is a big part of productivity and, you know, just treating your employees feeling like they have breathing room, I would think, is better for productivity overall, is it not?
that's what some of the studies suggest. But I guess, you know, everything in moderation. I'm sure if we had months off at a time, you wouldn't see, maybe mental health would be really good, but people wouldn't be working.
I think we should just call them bank holidays like they do in England.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It just sounds a little, maybe federal holidays is too politicized now. Call it a bank holiday.
Sure. I'll take whatever branding for a day off. I'm not going to argue against it.
Economics reporter for CNN, Elizabeth Buchwald, we appreciate it. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji with you today. Final hour of the show. We are in the middle of it now. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. We are going to have Tom Ackerman and me. Bob Costas will be on the show.
Costas.
Chris Kerber will be on the show, play-by-play for the Blues. We're also on this show at 11:30 going to talk to Josh Schertz.
Wow.
Men's basketball coach at St. Louis University.
As they said in the movie Overboard, it's a hell of a day at sea, sir.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, all this year, as we celebrate 100 years of KMOX, we are celebrating with 100 acts of kindness with Jerry Kelly Heating and Cooling and
Electrical.
That's right. And so our 100 acts of kindness continue. We've challenged all of yous to visit any lemonade stand, any Kool-Aid stand, any cookie stand that you happen to see this week and buy some lemonade. Maybe drop them a dollar or two. And then let us know that you did that nice thing. Also, we had a couple of people text in, Ranj, with community shout-outs.
Yes, we did. Go. Yeah,
oh, yes.
Go
ahead. Yeah. So just from a 314, wanted to shout out Bishop Michael Robinson of Hope STL. They said Bishop Robinson is always feeding, giving clothes, providing mobile showers and more, which is awesome. Bishop Robinson of Hope STL and Rita Swiner, founders of Santa's Helpers. Last year, they helped 1,400 families have a Christmas. The texter, which is a 618, said, my wife and I volunteer with them from September through December.
That's very cool. So if you have somebody in the community who is doing good work and maybe doesn't get the recognition you think they deserve, then let us know about them, and we would like to recognize them. Again, part of Jerry Kelly's 100 Acts of Kindness that we're doing because it's our 100th anniversary here mm-hmm. at KMOX. And
on the 10,000th anniversary, we'll do 10,000 acts of kindness.
We'll do 10,000 acts of kindness for a half a season, half a year. But that's on the 10,000th anniversary.
That's down the road.
Way down the road. We're not going to be here for it, but you might be. So just pass it along to your
posterity.
Yeah, absolutely. Text messages, the 314-436-7900. So the question of the week that we had this week mm-hmm. Is it okay for men to wear shorts in a non-athletic mm-hmm. setting? Mm-hmm. So you have to go to @ChrisAmyKMOX to vote. Texter wants to know if jorts are still acceptable for men to wear. And I say yes.
Well, that's because your entire business model is centered on jorts.
Are you talking about Nice Package?
I am.
My delivery service where all the delivery drivers are wearing very short, tight, cut-off yeah. shorts?
And I don't want to talk out of school here.
Uh-huh.
But I think our boss, Steve,
mm-hmm. likes the idea.
I think he's had enough of Nice Package.
I don't care if he has or not. It's a great idea.
I don't care if you like it or not. I think he thought you were joking. And now uh-huh. that you're moving forward with the business model,
yeah.
I think he's a little concerned.
Well, either he gets on board or get out of the way. That is my advice to Steve. Either get on board wow. or get out the way, because the Nice Package is coming. It is heading your direction. It is heading to a town near you, and it will be delivering packages to your home,
whether you want them or not.
That's right. Another message yeah. is
yeah.
that, and by the way, 314-436-7900. The next question of the week should be this, they say.
Okay.
Should people be allowed to wear pajamas out to the stores?
Oh, I have very strong feelings on this.
I say yes.
I say no.
Wear what you dig.
Show some respect for yourself and for others. The pajama pants at the grocery store and on airplanes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's not the Oregon Trail. It's a 45-minute Southwest flight. Put some pants on.
What's wrong with pajamas? Be comfortable.
People are too comfortable.
Why? You know how small plane used to be nice and spacious and you could stretch out.
And smoke.
Well, yeah, we don't have to do that anymore, but you could lean back, you know, without upsetting the person behind you. This is great Mm-mm. that you can now
no.
wear pajamas on the airplane.
I'm against it. Show some respect. I would never hire someone in pajamas. Also, Phyllis is watching us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
She said, now we were talking about Pope Leo, as an American, does he need to file for taxes? And the Wall Street Journal said he might, even though he took a vow of poverty, is in the order of St. Augustine, which is the strictest vow of poverty. Phyllis says, priests receive a pension, but nuns do not, just an FYI. And that bothers me. Why don't nuns get a pension?
I don't understand that. I'm not sure. I have no answer for you. I didn't even know about that until today.
Is it because priests get the pension after they're done doing services?
Maybe.
And then they just live in the monastery?
It's possible.
I don't know.
This texter says, wouldn't the Pope have diplomatic immunity? I probably. I don't know.
You don't need diplomatic immunity from taxes.
I don't think so.
Isn't that just if he commits a crime?
Diplomatic immunity.
This is Democracy Manifest.
You all right?
Yep.
Amy Marks, Kors, and Chris Ranji. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. We have Bob Costas on the show. We have Chris Kerber on the show. Tom Ackerman and me. Hope you stick around for that. But coming up next, we're about to talk to men's basketball coach at SLU, Josh Schertz. He is in studio next on KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
...1041 FM KMOX, Chris and Amy. We are glad you're with us today, and we're also happy to have SLU men's basketball coach Josh Schertz in studio with us coming up here at Schlafly Bottle Works in Maplewood. In fact, it's tomorrow evening. The Billikens will have the bold, the last decade. It is the Billikens of the last decade. It's a really great event at the brewery. There are beer samples and appetizers and all kinds of stuff. And men's basketball coach Josh Schertz is going to be there. It's good to have you in studio. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me in. I'm excited about tomorrow night as well. That'll be fun. Anytime you get a bunch of beer, good people, and some good drinks, I'm in.
So it'll be a nice to unwind, but before, you know, leading up to this and then after, you've got a lot going on because the college basketball season is still months away. A lot of preparation before that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, everybody's like, what do you guys do in the off season? You know, like the season ends and you go in. But no, it's the summer is a tricky time because you have your players here and you're allowed to work with them. You get 8 hours a week with them. And then you're also recruiting, and there's recruiting windows. So there's like a 3-day window in May, a couple 3-day windows here in June, and then some 4-day windows in July where you practice, and leave out on a Wednesday night, and you start on Thursday at 8 a.m. and you're Thursday through Sunday, you're traveling and watching games, and then you fly back home Sunday night, and you're back with your team Monday morning. And so that's there's a couple pockets of that in July, and then these pockets here in June. So it is super busy. You're balancing your current team, which is your priority, the guys that are there, getting them ready, but you also have to be ready in terms of, you know, what you're doing in 2026 and 27 in terms of getting in front of those recruits and making sure they see you, you evaluate them. So we have this window of time, but June and July are extraordinarily busy for college basketball, even if most of it, I would say, is kind of invisible stuff that people don't see.
How big is the team of people that you need to do all of that? Because, I mean, you've got to worry about coaching, you worry about recruiting, but you have to have other people who are helping you recruit as well if you're thinking about next year and the year after that in advance. Yeah.
No, we do. We have a big staff. We have six full time assistants that work, and then we have two others that are I think two or three other graduate assistants that are around and help. And then of course you got all your support staff people like your strength coach and your athletic training and medical people. So it's a big organization when you really look at it, and it takes a lot of people. You got just like on any team, you got guys that are really focused on recruiting and that year round on our staff. Mm-hmm. And they don't maybe have as many basketball responsibilities. And you got the guys who have a lot of basketball responsibilities, have less recruiting responsibilities, but there's an overlap for everybody in terms of the basketball and the recruiting. We don't have a de facto GM or something like that but we do have guys that, all year round, they're able to travel and go because they don't have, maybe the same scouting responsibilities and stuff like that. So it frees them up to be on the road, travel, do that stuff throughout the year. Where, like, for me, my time is limited to certain windows. Once the season starts, once we get into real practice in October, I don't ever leave. I don't ever miss practice to go recruiting. Yeah. So I'll do stuff in St. Louis or in an area where I can, or an off day.
Yeah.
But I never miss practice to be on the road, and we have staff that does that.
So you have that staff. So obviously you have a pool of recruits. Does the final decision fall on you of which ones you're going to go visit or pursue?
Yeah. So and there's, everybody has input. Mm-hmm. We really try to do it collaboratively. But at the end of the day, I'm the final decision maker on if we're going to, sign somebody or not, so that way if they stink, there's no I can't absolve
myself. Blame somebody else.
Yeah, nobody can. I can't blame anybody. If the players are bad, there's nowhere to turn. I signed off on every guy.
That'd be a great press conference response. Like, that was not. I didn't want him. But
I didn't want that guy.
That was Billy. Billy know.
The assistants wanted him. I don't know.
How often does it happen though that maybe one of your assistants finds somebody and is like, you got to take this guy, and good or bad. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, well, if you believe that strongly in him, then we're going to go with it. Whatever the outcome is. Does that happen often?
I would have to believe the same way. It usually happens more often than not that they believe in something or someone and I don't. And I wind up saying no. So I know I frustrate my staff a lot because I'm very particular about the player and the person. I always say, I know it sounds like cliche, but you're recruiting people first, player second. And you got to get both things right.
You ever been wrong?
A lot.
Where you're like, no on this guy, and then he goes and dominates someone.
And he's great. And so I've had, we could do hours of shows of guys I screwed up on and missed. But, I tell the staff this too, and I believe this, and it's the same thing in the NBA or any professional sport, college, where you're like drafting or recruiting. You don't get fired because you miss on good players. You get fired because you take bad players, right? Like, missing on good players doesn't hurt you unless you don't sign other good players.
Right.
Right? Like, so if you miss, it's not the misses that kill you. It's taking bad players that kill you, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, if you don't take a good player, I'm guessing that the higher-ups don't realize that you had a chance at getting them, right? So it's a little different than... Yeah. You brought in this dude, and he's not very good.
When our boss gets fired, it will be our fault.
Exactly.
The Chris and Obi show.
That'll be quite an accomplishment for us.
We're the ones that got him fired.
Yeah, brought him down. No, see, there you go. It rolls downhill. No, I think when you're evaluating players, you can miss and not take a guy, and that's okay. Like, maybe they turn out to be better than you thought, and that happens all the time. And guys turn out to sometimes be worse than you thought. But the issue where people, screw up is where they either get the person wrong or the player. Maybe the player's good enough, but the person's not good enough.
So in some ways, this is something of, I guess, from the higher ups, not taking a good player. It's like erring on the side of caution. We just don't know. We erred on the side of caution. Taking someone who doesn't pan out, it's like, oh, you actively made the wrong decision, which I know coaches have this in games where you could make just maybe a risky call or a crazy call or play or whatever it may be. And if it works out, the coach is a hero and a genius. If it doesn't work out, what was he thinking? You had moments like that in a game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, thousands of people criticize you or you're a genius based on a lot of stuff that just randomly either happened or didn't happen. You call a bad play and a guy makes a remarkably hard shot. And everybody goes, oh, that was such a brilliant play. Or you generate a wide open one, the guy misses it. Like, he's an idiot. Why'd he do that? And the same thing in recruiting. I think that's a part of of the deal, you know, is it's changed in this era of, you know, I spent most of my career D2, which was awesome because there really wasn't a lot of like outside external noise. Mm. There wasn't like, you know, I remember my career, Twitter wasn't a major thing, and certainly people didn't have Twitter D2 guys. And,
yeah, right.
You know, and so like you weren't getting these, like when I was first learning how to coach, like there wasn't all this judgment. I don't know how people do that in the crucible of like, you know, what it's become. But, you know, it's like I tell my staff this, I tell the players this, like, you know, we live in a world where everybody has a platform and there are so many opinions. There are so few informed opinions on any subject. Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, there are so many opinions and so few informed opinions, you know, I mean, they just have no clue.
It's a Dunning-Kruger effect, isn't it?
Well, you just look at like years ago, right? During COVID, everybody was an epidemiologist.
Yeah.
Where everybody's an expert on Middle East affairs. Everybody's an expert on whatever the topic of the day is. So, and they're an expert on your team or what you should have done. And certainly coaches make tons of mistakes. I told the players that like, I'll make more mistakes than any player. I have more decisions to make than any player, right? I got to who to sub, who to play, what we're running, right? Like, I'm going to screw up more than any player will. And I know that going in, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. I'll do the best I can to be as good as I can be in the role I have for the team. But, you know, that's a part of it. And so the judgment that comes with that are people that, you know, you get criticized. You know, I have, you know, one of my two favorite quotes in the world is the man in the arena quote, you know, by Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, and that you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah,
and then everybody else can sit there and judge and say what you should have done or didn't do or how you could or how they would have done it, but they're not doing it. And the same thing for our players. Like when they get judged or guys criticize the kids for they should have done this or I would have done that or how they do not play well and get, like try going out there in front of 20,000 people with the media and just playing and see how perfect, you know, you would be in that same circumstance.
You know, you're talking about recruiting character. And this is an interesting idea to me because I still think if you've got a player whose character is questionable, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a bad player for you. And I'm a Bears fan, and I'm thinking of this guy named Jalen Carter who pre-draft was he doesn't work hard, and he is absolutely dominating offenses. He's dominant.
Yep.
And the Bears passed on him because pre-draft issues. So like, how do you know if a guy's going to either grow up or maybe everything you've heard about him is just not true?
Yeah.
That's got to be the most difficult part.
It's the most difficult. I mean, the whole thing is an inexact science. What you're trying to do in recruiting, to me, the way I look at it is, you know, you're handicapping the odds of something being successful, right? I mean, that's the best you can do. Because you're really handicapping, like, if you knew, that would be great. You know, if you knew, man, Jalen Carter is going to be this, then it would take all the science out of it, right? Mm-hmm. It would be just, hey, we're right to it. We know this 100% guaranteed. I think everything, there's so many variables you got to look at when you're looking at people. And we try to talk to a lot of people. I think you want to get as much information as you can, even if that information is different, you know, even if it doesn't line up. But the more information you have, the more people you can talk to, the more varied perspectives that you have, even if it's not congruent, you can start to piecemeal it together. Then the biggest piece is spending time with that person, bringing them to campus and sitting down with them and then laying out who you are as a pro. Because it's not always about, you know, how, like you said, there's kids who, you know, people don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they get a bad rap, or maybe people watch them and what they see on the field or the court is not a representation of who they are, the kind of teammate they are. So we try to talk to as many different people, teammates of the kid, because I think they give you the best idea of who somebody is, because coaches may have an agenda, you know, opposing coaches, whatever, they don't know them as well. Teammates know the kid as well as anybody. That speaks to, like, you don't ask them, you know, hey, tell me about this kid necessarily. You might say, hey, you know, a teammate of his, who are your leaders?
Yeah.
And they might give you three guys. Maybe he's not one of them. Say, who else? Who are your hardest workers? Who are guys that were your best competitors? And you try to, and if nobody says him, that would be a red flag, right?
Right,
they
exactly.
They bring up, you know, that he was one of them. So I think you're trying to handicap odds and you're trying to figure out, will it work? Won't it work? And if it doesn't work, like, is it a way that, like, he's just himself going to not fail? or and that's one thing I ask everybody when I talk about a kid is like, if he was to fail here, why would that be? Right? Like if this kid was to not work out here, they always say, well, he's going to work out. But if he didn't, what would the reason be that he would fail? And you want to hear why, because they got to give you something.
Right.
And so to me, your handicap.
Maybe there's an element they haven't had in their lives yet.
Right. It might be that, hey, they just whatever the case may be. But you got to always figure out, and you're handicapping those odds. You're trying to do with as much information in your hands as possible. And then you make the best decision. But you always bet on, you know, a locker room. To have a functional locker room, you have to have functional people.
Yeah.
You know, to have a functional team, you got to have people that still, you know, in this era with NIL and transfer portal and all the different stuff, that has changed. But what hasn't changed is like why teams win.
Yeah.
You right? I mean, it's still about relationships. It's still about guys that want to be a part of something bigger themselves. It's still about sacrifice and serving each other and tough-minded kids who are really competitive. Like that, you could pay guys $1 billion. This stuff that wins for teams always will be the same stuff that wins. So it's just now figuring that out in this climate.
I was going to say, those conversations have to be different now. Like you still have some of the core tenets of recruiting, but I'm sure the players are asking different questions than they would have before.
Well, players, now you have agents. That's a different layer to it, right? So there's a negotiation. So not only do I have to figure out when I'm recruiting a kid, if we want them, then I got to figure out how much I'm willing to pay them based on what we have as a salary cap. So it's really, for me, what the percentage is worth, right? Because, I mean, if you had, you know, $20 million or $20,000, the percentages are different. But at the end of the day, you're working with a percentage of the money you have, right? So, you know, at a place like ours where you don't have bottomless resources, you have to be, you know, thoughtful about who you're paying and how much you're paying for players and make sure you're doing right by them, but not overpaying. So that's a different layer to what it was, and it's a different layer as a coach. In terms of, all right, now I got to figure out the financial piece of, yeah, I like this guy and we're willing to pay this. They want this, you know, is that, and that's really those conversations happen with the agent and a lot of times. And at the end of the day, you know, you try to get to common ground there and figure out, you know, where we can be on that. And, you know, ultimately that has changed dramatically, and it's changed some in terms of what kids are looking for, but we're very upfront. We have like a culture document that, you know, showcases like and talks about who we are. What are our core values? What are our principles? What is our organization about? What could you expect when you get here? You know, when I tell guys in recruiting, because a lot of times in the portal, guys ask, you know, what's, you know, how much am I going to play? What's my role going to be? And I always tell them, like, if I could predict that, I would be doing stuff way more lucrative than coaching, right? I would be betting stocks or gambling on games. I'd be doing real cool stuff that won't have to work. You know, I could just predict the future and not worry about it. So what I promise every recruit is the same. We're going to give you an unbelievable culture. We're going to give you a work environment where you could be your absolute best and find the best version of yourself. And you're going to get every opportunity and you will get everything you earn as a player. It won't be given to you, but it certainly won't be held from you based on where you came from or what year you are, any of that stuff.
Josh, just before we get to season tickets, because I know you're trying to get people out to the building this upcoming season, just don't bet on sports until you leave.
No, I will not.
Until you retire. Wait until you retire, and then...
Well, I know I can't predict the future because of all my mistakes in recruiting, so there's no worry about me betting.
Right.
So I can't. I don't have... If I was a prof... Yeah, I would be able to retire if I was able to prophesy and be predictive of everything that was going to happen.
Season tickets? Right now on sale?
Yeah, season tickets on sale. Please come out. I think we got a group that the city will be able to really wrap their arms around. We got guys that are, I think, super competitive, super relatable. Think they want to be a part of building St. Louis basketball. You know, we laid some seeds last year. You know, we were able to, you know, get to the NIT, and, you know, with a rough year with injuries and everything, we laid some great groundwork. I think this group is here to build on that. I think we have a chance to do something special, but the reality is, you know, we need that. We need the community. We need the fan base. The support we got towards the middle end of last year was terrific. It, you know, fans can really put the wind at your back, right? I mean, they can really make a difference. The energy, the atmosphere, people seeing it, that it matters. It really does put the wind at your back. We got a team that I think will be fun to watch. I think it'll represent the things that the community of St. Louis wants to have. I think it'll represent the city and the school in a first-class way. And so, you know, yeah, please get your tickets. We're going to have, I think, 10 non-conference home games. So hope is we'll have 19 between A-10 and non-conference, 19 home games in Chaffetz. So a ton of chance to see our guys starting November 3rd against Southeast Missouri.
SLUBillikens.com. Look out for tickets. Go find them. Have fun tomorrow. Brewery tours with Bold. Billikens of the last decade. It'll be a good time at Schlafly Bottle Works in Maplewood. Thanks for coming in, Josh. We're going to talk again before the season starts.
Let's do it. I'd love to be back. Appreciate it.
Maybe we'll have you back every day.
There you go. It could be maybe the third, maybe the Chris, Amy, and Josh show.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Let's go.
And you know what I mean? Just, yeah, yeah, I get a little bit. I'm in. If I can, this would be a great, great part-time gig for me.
I think you'd be fantastic.
Yep.
But we're going to put you to work full-time.
That's right.
Okay.
Recruiting, coaching, watching tape. And then you're going to be here.
Doug Gottlieb's doing it. I mean, why not me, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Josh Schertz with us on KMOX. All right, Amy. Another successful day.
Great day.
Text message into the show, talking about my delivery company, says that you should call the company. That's a nice package. That's not bad either.
Because for those of you who don't remember, during our pizza tournament, there was That's a Nice Pizza.
Which still just flabbergasts me.
He is flabbergasted.
I am flabbergasted that there's a place called that. And everybody says it's good.
Okay, because it's That's a Nice Pizza, but you say it like...
That's a Nice Pizza.
That's how he says it.
It's just an interesting name.
That's a Nice Package is 100% that listener gets it. I think that's what it should be called.
Man, we should be in charge of just about everything. You and me. Don't you think?
I do not think so.
No?
I feel like we're barely hanging on to this show.
I think it'll be fine. Hey,
the good
also,
news is it's midday.
Also, tomorrow, Old Bakery Beer Company in Alton, their fourth annual Proud Market. It is their Pride event that's happening tomorrow. It goes from 5 until 8 o'clock. So if you want something to do in Alton, go do that.
I've been there. It's awesome.
I have not stopped there, but I have driven past there.
Yeah,
it's a really cool right
it's
there
really
on the river.
Cool building.
Yeah, I like it there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.